This is the Brisnet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman.
Good evening. Welcome to the Brisnet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman along with my co-host Dave Friedman taking you along till 7 p.m. tonight and every Thursday night here on HRRN, with the exception of next Thursday. We're going to take next Thursday off because it's Thanksgiving, but pretty much every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m., your hour, HRRN Nation. Give us a call. Talk about whatever you'd like. 888-966-4776 is the number, 888-966-4776. Dave, are you ready?
Absolutely. Can't wait to talk to the fans.
Well, I can't wait myself. And we have a few things that are interesting going on in the world of racing right now. And want to bring those up as things that I'm interested in your opinion. I'm interested in our listeners' opinion. First things first is that this is a great time of year. We've got some major tracks opening up around the country in the next 15 days or so. 6 days from now, next Wednesday, opening day at Tampa Bay Downs. 1 week from today, Thanksgiving Day, is opening day at the fairgrounds. And then 2 weeks from tomorrow, December 3rd, opening day, I believe, for both the Oaklawn meet and the championship meet at Gulfstream Park. Listen, we're used to Tampa Bay Downs and Fairgrounds and Gulfstream Championship meet all getting underway this time of year. Oaklawn is kind of an interloper. We have not seen this before. They usually start middle of January, but they've changed things around. They're actually running the exact same amount of days. They're just running 3 days a week instead of 4 days a week. So instead of Thursday through Sunday from January through about Kentucky Derby weekend, they're going to run Friday through Sunday each week from December 3rd all the way until the day after the Kentucky Derby. And going to be interesting to see what happens because we're not used to seeing Oaklawn Park around the holidays, whether it's Christmas or New Year's or whatever else you may celebrate. They do have a hotel there in Hot Springs right there on the clubhouse turn of the racetrack, I'm guessing. And, I didn't want to get too much into this when we talked with Director of Racing Jennifer Hoyt yesterday, but I'm guessing it's much easier to fill that hotel when there's live racing going on. So getting live racing going before the holidays probably ensures full room capacity in that hotel in December, where maybe it would not have been full otherwise. Looks beautiful, by the way, online. I don't know if you've seen pictures of the hotel. It looks like an upscale hotel.
Yep.
And it is literally right there on the clubhouse turn at Oaklawn Park. So if you have one of those rooms on that side of the hotel, you can wake up early in the morning and enjoy your cup of coffee or whatever you'd like and watch those morning workouts right there outside your window.
Love it. Doesn't get any better than that. And the racing is really, really good. This is an underrated portion of the racing season. And once upon a time, it was a little bit of a dead period after the Breeders' Cup. But boy, a couple of those meets that are opening are really high end. And you talked about it a week or two ago. There have been several races put into play over the last couple of decades, the Dubai World Cup, now the Saudi Cup, and here in America, the Pegasus Cup, that keeps horses in training and kind of extends the season, or if you want to look at it a different way, begins the new season earlier.
By the way, once again, the number to call in, 888-966-4776. I would like to know from both our listeners and you, Dave, of those four tracks that I brought up, the ones that are opening in the next 2 weeks, if you had to focus on just one for their entire meet, which one would be your focus and why? It doesn't matter. I don't care if it's something that you grew up in the area, or maybe your mom and dad used to take you to that track, or maybe you just had better luck handicapping a certain track compared to the others. Which one of those four? Because they all have, you know, they all have reasons why people could like them as opposed to the others. Whether it's better weather, or maybe they one of them has turf racing and the other one doesn't. Maybe you like the Oaks and Derby preps at one of them more than the other one. Maybe you just think the overnight races, you know, the claiming races are better at a certain location than the other one. I'm intrigued to know which one of those four facilities, which product you're looking forward to the most, and if you had to just pick one of those tracks to play, which one it would be. The other thing that's interesting that I'd like to know from you and from our listeners is, what do you think is exactly going to happen regarding Medina Spirit and Bob Baffert? Because it sounds like the second round of testing is going to take place pretty much within the next week or so. We should know something within a couple of weeks, good or bad. I mean, do you think that he's going to skate, that they're going to declare like insufficient evidence, and Medina Spirit will retain the crown, as it were, of this year's Kentucky Derby, and eventually the tracks like New York and Churchill Downs that maybe aren't allowing Bob Baffert to race will allow him back on the grounds and allow him to run, and he'll be able to get all the points that his three-year-olds, or, you know, now two-year-olds, soon-to-be three-year-olds, look to earn towards the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks next year? Or do you think it's going to go the other way, that they're going to say, yep, you did it, it's proven right here, and we're going to disqualify Medina Spirit from the Kentucky Derby, and even more sanctions could come down from the tracks that have already provided them for Baffert? Maybe even some new tracks will come down and you know, put their foot down regarding him and his horses. I'm intrigued to find out what our listeners say about that. And you know what? Let's start with that with you. Where do you think, what is your best guess as to the finality of this whole saga?
I mean, my understanding is nothing has really changed since the initial positive test. And that doesn't lead me any reason to believe the second test is going to come back different than the first test. Now, there's obviously a possibility that the first came back with a false positive, a error in the result, but I don't have any reason to believe that's the case. And therefore, it makes me think that the second test is going to have the same result as the first, and that the horse is going to be disqualified, and Mandaloon is going to be the winner of the Kentucky Derby. And what that means for Bob Baffert, I don't think it's really, really straightforward, because I think Churchill Downs and Kentucky and some other jurisdictions are going to continue to say, okay, well, the results justify our decision and you're banned. And I think there's going to be a litigation as to whether they can actually do that or not. And I think it's going to continue to be a long, drawn out court situation. But in terms of who is crowned the winner of the Kentucky Derby, that you may recall was run over 6 months ago, I think it's going to be Mandaloon, and Medina Spirit's going to be DQ'd.
Okay, so I'm now going to ask you the strangest question that you've ever been asked regarding horse racing. Well, maybe not the strangest, but certainly a strange question. There is a possibility, then, that Mandaloon will have won the Kentucky Derby and the Haskell without actually winning either of those races. Is that correct?
Yeah, no question.
Right? He's, as of now, finished second in the Derby. He could be declared the official winner if all this is upheld and Medina Spirit is disqualified. He did not cross the wire first in the Haskell, but Hot Rod Charlie was disqualified from that win for causing interference to Midnight Bourbon in the stretch. Let me ask you this. If Mandaloon is eventually the official winner of the Kentucky Derby, the official winner of the Haskell, we know he won the Risen Star this year. We know he won the Pegasus. Is he champion three-year-old?
I mean, I think there's a pretty good argument for that, because the next best candidate is probably Medina Spirit after that very, very strong outing in the Breeders' Cup. So if Medina Spirit is disqualified and Mandaloon is the winner, Mandaloon didn't run in the Breeders' Cup, but like you mentioned, came back and won the Haskell, I mean, it's a tough one, but it's not something we learn on the racetrack. It's voted upon, and if Medina Spirit is disqualified, there are already a lot of people that don't want to vote for a Bob Baffert trainee. And if you're now given kind of an out on it, I think a lot of people are going to take that.
Theoretically, Mandaloon could be the champion three-year-old with only have crossed the wire first twice as a three-year-old in the Risen Star, a grade two race, and the Pegasus Stakes at Monmouth, which is a listed stake. Theoretically, he could be the champion three-year-old, even though he's only crossed the wire first in those two races. It's weird to say that.
What do you think? Do you think if Medina Spirit is taken down, we can get to that question of whether you think Medina Spirit should or will be taken down. But if Medina Spirit is taken down, who do you think the champion three-year-old is?
Oh, I don't know. I think they're probably going to make it Essential Quality.
Could be.
But I don't know if his resume is that much. I mean, he did win the Travers. He did win the Belmont Stakes. He was phenomenal early on in the year as well. But he did not finish ahead of Medina Spirit or Mandaloon in the Kentucky Derby. Even if Medina Spirit's, you know, disqualified, he didn't finish ahead of Mandaloon in the Kentucky Derby. And by the way, he didn't finish ahead of, you know, Medina Spirit in the Breeders' Cup Classic either.
That's a tough argument. So you look at Medina Spirit on the racetrack, throw out all of the politics of it, has probably had a better year than Essential Quality, who won the Traverse and won the Belmont, because Medina Spirit finished first at the Kentucky Derby and then was second in the Breeders' Cup Classic. But you have the issues with Medina Spirit, and then you look at Mandaloon, who didn't cross the finish line first in those two races you mentioned, the Haskell and the Derby, but is crowned the winner. It's tough for the voters to kind of sort those out, but it's hard to pick Essential Quality over Medina Spirit if we're just talking about what we saw on the racetrack.
How about this? If Medina Spirit gets disqualified from the Derby and you don't want to go with Mandaloon, who's only crossed the wire twice in front this year as your champion three-year-old, does Life Is Good have a chance? Life Is Good ran five times as a three-year-old. He won four graded stakes and got beat a nose in another one, and he beat older horses in the Dirt Mile. He beat older horses in the Kelso, and he beat Medina Spirit in, what was it, the Sham Stakes, and he won the San Felipe as well. Can Life Is Good be champion three-year-old?
I mean, I'm not sure what the criteria is, Bobby. If we're just supposed to pick the best horse, the best three-year-old horse, I think so. I don't think that resume is as strong as Mandaloon's. Mandaloon won the Kentucky Derby under this situation, this scenario where Medina Spirit is disqualified, and won the Haskell, whereas Life Is Good won the San Felipe, the Sham, the Kelso, and the Dirt Mile. If you're asking the question, who is the best three-year-old, I think he can make a terrific argument for Life Is Good, regardless of what happens with Medina Spirit.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about the best three-year-old, you could make a case for Flightline being the best three-year-old, but he definitely doesn't have the resume to even be considered for these kind of things, being that he's only won a maiden race and allowance race. He may be the best three-year-old there is.
It seems to me the resume, if Mandaloon is declared the winner of the Kentucky Derby, that's the best resume.
That is true, and it's certainly intriguing, and I guess we will find out very shortly. Let's head out to the phones. Vince in California, maybe you can help us. What's going to happen with all this, my friend?
Bobby, I'm busy at work, but I wanted to call in. I don't know what you're talking about, but I can't really listen. But I remember I went to go see my mom in Vegas last week. She's doing a little better. But I wanted to tell you the joy I had. I didn't do much handicapping, so I got all the picks from Friday. I never do this, but at the Treasure Island, they leave these little white papers, like 2x4, and I put all the picks, and I put the times. And right off the bat, I had started a wonderful day. I mean, all my early races started coming in, the first at Gulfstream, the first in New York. And so my very first play, I put 100 to win. I think your friend Dave gave out the four horse in the eighth race at Woodbine in the stakes race. I don't know the name of the horse. The horse just dominated. I think the horse is 4-for-4 now.
Lady Spite Spear, and yeah, Bob Nastanovich, I loved her last week.
Great pick.
Oh, okay. So Bobby, I had 100 to win on that horse from 10 in the morning. That race didn't come up for 4 hours. It's the most beautiful feeling to cash a bet like that. Thank you for the show. And it was just a great day, and I didn't have to do much handicapping. I kind of had to keep an eye on Mom, but I just wanted to tell you that it was a beautiful feeling, and I kind of told you Thursday last week, I said I was going to go that route, use the picks from the show, and God, the horse just dominated. What a nice horse. I think it's undefeated, right?
Yeah, she's 4-for-4. She was trying a new surface for the first time, and I think hadn't been out in a few months, but obviously very, very talented. We'll see where she goes next, because Woodbine is almost done, and we'll see if where she goes in the wintertime, if she ships down to Gulfstream or the Fairgrounds or where. But she's a really good filly and has a bright future if she can stay healthy.
Bobby, one other thing. I was listening in my car at lunch break. You were talking about the race caller from Gulfstream, but then you got sidetracked with Pompano, and you never really told the story. What's he doing calling at Gulfstream right now?
Well, Vince, first of all, thanks for your call. So the deal is Pete Aiello has a rare – he's in a very good position that he's one of the rare track announcers who calls somewhere that runs year-round. Now with no more Calder and no more Hialeah, Gulfstream races on a year-round basis. So he gets to be a salaried guy instead of a day-rate guy, which means – he gets time off, and he's taking his time off, and he usually takes it this time of year. He used to take it over the last few years when Calder would run, or they'd call it Gulfstream Park West, but basically when they were running over at Calder. But he basically takes off this time of year, so he's fresh and ready to go for their big meet at the beginning of December. And the reason that that Gabe Pruitt fills in is that he's down here and at Pompano Park, which is, you know, less than 40 minutes away if you don't have any traffic from Pompano to Gulfstream. And as long as they're not overlapping from the night races at Pompano to the day races at Gulfstream, Gabe can fill in and call some races. I think they've had other guys do it from time to time, filling in for Pete Aiello. But, you know, he's a young guy, but he deserves a break every now and then, and he gets a few weeks off and usually takes them this time of year because, you know, this is kind of the calm before the storm at Gulfstream when their big meet is just starting 2 weeks from now. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, be more here with Bobby and Dave on the Bristnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open, 888-966-4776.
This is the Bristnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Bristnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Bristnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Bristnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Bristnet.com/APR. The Bristnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Bristnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Bristnet is the handicapper's edge.
Live racing is back at Churchill Downs October 31st through November 28th with the same strong purses we've had all year, and you are not going to want to miss it. Highlighted by the graded stakes such as the Grade 3 Chalukey, the Grade 2 Falls City, Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club, and the Grade 2 Goldenrod, along with the Grade 1 Clark, this November meet is sure to be full of excitement. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit ChurchillDowns.com. That's ChurchillDowns.com.
If it happens in horse racing, it happens on HRRN.
Broom and your beer down to the is Yabir and William Buick to win the turf. Here comes Dunbar Road. They're coming to the wire. And it is. Oh, it's desperately close. Was it Marsh Lorraine or was it Dunbar Road? Medina Spirit, Hot Rod Charlie, the Central Quality. Mixed Go, a superstar, wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Racing's biggest events are right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Briznet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. BrisNet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman taking you along until 7 o'clock tonight. Phone lines are open, 888-966-4776, the number to call in. Right now it's time for the Blood Horse News Update. Look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Jackie's Warrior among returnees for Asmussen in 2022. Aside from Silver State, who begins a stud career at Claiborne Farm in 2022, Steve Asmussen's five other Breeders' Cup competitors will continue racing next year, the trainer said. Asmussen, who turned 56 today, said Snapper Sinclair, sixth in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, is a possible starter in the Grade 1 Cigar Mile December 4th at Aqueduct. His other Breeders' Cup starters, Clarier, Max Player, Echo Zulu, and Jackie's Warrior, are set to return in 2022, the latter after having a chip removed from his left knee by noted orthopedic surgeon Dr. Larry Bramlage. Multiple Grade 1 winning Son of McLean's Music, owned by Kirk and Judy Robeson, ran sixth in the Breeders' Cup Sprint at Del Mar. Daily Racing Form initially reported the surgery. Quote, he was operated on by Dr. Bramlage on Friday. All the indications are very good from him, Asmussen said. We'll x-ray him at his recommendation before we put him back into training and see how that goes. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus, available through BloodHorse.com, provides exclusive content to subscribers, including a daily detailed stakes winner section, behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, on-demand access to deeper horse stats, Blood Horse Market Watch, monthly credit on equineline.com for pedigrees, race, and produce records, and much more. That's the new Blood Horse Plus on BloodHorse.com. Upgrade today. Good news about a lot of those big-name runners from the Asmussen barn. We knew that Silver State was going to be retired after running in the Breeders' Cup, and he will head to stud duty next year. But nice to hear that all of those other stars will be back and on stage at some point in 2022. And Jackie's Warrior hoping to redeem himself. He was a horse that I think a lot of people thought, Dave, was one of the more likely winners on Breeders' Cup weekend a few weeks ago out at Del Mar. I tried to beat him. I turned out right, but certainly he did not run his race, and obviously he had a big excuse.
No question, and he's a horse that has been pretty strong and pretty durable, and we look forward to him returning the track. Once they kind of went one turn with him, that really suits him very, very well, a front runner, and looking forward to seeing what's in store next.
Once again, the number to call in, 888-966-4776. All right, Dave, so another question I'd like to know, an answer I'd like from you, and maybe from our callers if they feel like it, is which of the four tracks that's opening up in the next 15 days are you most looking forward to and why? And you have four choices. You have Tampa Bay Downs. They open in 6 days. You have Fairgrounds. They open a week from today, Thanksgiving Day. And you have both the championship meet at Gulfstream Park as well as Oaklawn Park starting in about 2 weeks. I'm not asking for comparisons to NYRA or Southern California or places like that. I'm looking at just these four tracks. Of those four, Dave, which one are you looking forward to the most and why?
Bobby, in my email inbox, And we all have a million emails, some read, some not read, some in the junk file, et cetera, et cetera. I have four pinned emails right at the top. One of them is my vaccine card, and one of them is reservations for a flight and a car I have rented for the next week or so. And another is a media guide. And the third one is takeout at every track in North America. And I update it with some frequency. So when you brought up this question, that's the first thing I did. I went and I opened up my spreadsheet and I looked to see what these tracks do in the wagers that I play the most. And those are pick fours and pick fives and pick sixes. And the reason I did it immediately was in the back of my head, I remembered that the pick five takeout at Oaklawn Park was high. And it is. It's over 20%. And that's why I love Oaklawn. The more I watch it, the more I think it is just really high-level quality racing. But I'm an ROI guy. I don't like betting 2 to 5 shots unless I think they have, you know, an incredibly high chance of winning. And to take 25% off the top out of the bet that I'm wagering, the pool that I'm involved in, that's steep. Whereas at Gulfstream Park and at Tampa Bay Downs, that number is far less. The Gulfstream Park Championship meet is high end. It is really, really good racing. And that pick five at 15% is too good for me to pass up. I think Tampa Bay is highly underrated. I think it's a good quality type of racing, and they've got great takeout on pick three and pick four. In fact, it's some of the best. It might be the best in the country in pick threes. It's 18%. It's 18% in daily doubles. Very, very competitive in pick fours. But for me, it's the pick fives that I make my livelihood on, and that's the way I like to play best. And Gulfstream Park has that at 15%, and I really like that a lot. That's nothing derogatory about the racing at Fairgrounds in Oakland. I think they have terrific racing, particularly Oakland. I've really become enchanted with the quality of their horses recently. I think they have very high-end races, big fields, but 25% on the pick five is a little steep for me.
Okay, certainly an interesting way to look at it. I don't know if everyone would look at it from the way of a takeout perspective, but that's the opinions we want. I'm interested to hear those kind of things. You know, I want to know if it's simply for the fact that, you know, people may want Gulfstream because there's three surfaces to bet on: dirt, turf, and now synthetic track, or maybe that's a detraction for people. Maybe they don't like the fact that they now have a synthetic track that they're going to be using, it sounds like, on a daily basis, and that could be part of pick four and pick five and pick six wagers that you have to handicap. Maybe it's the Fairgrounds. Maybe you like the fact, you know, you like their road to the Derby and the Oaks and the timing of the races. Maybe you like the jockey colony down at the Fairgrounds. Maybe you don't like the fact that, you know, hey, as Joe Kristofek mentioned, you know, it does rain a little bit down there, and you'll get probably more wet racetracks at the Fairgrounds than you will at any of those other three venues, and more off-the-turf races at the Fairgrounds maybe than you would at those other venues. And obviously there isn't turf racing at Oaklawn. Maybe that's why you do or don't like Oaklawn. You love dirt racing, you don't like turf racing. That could be a good or a bad if you're looking for Oaklawn. I do know this. They have big fields at Oaklawn. They have great purses at Oaklawn. And they seem like they're getting more and more big-name outfits every year at Oaklawn Park. You know, guys and gals you never thought would be going to train out at Oaklawn Park. And, you know, I'm just talking about, you know, names from Southern California to begin with. John Sadler, who, you know, doesn't ever have strings anywhere except Southern California, has had a string at Oaklawn the last few years. Peter Miller has had strings there. Richard Baltus, Phil D'Amato, some of the names you'll see there. Heard it from Jen Hoyt the other day, the director of racing at Oaklawn. Rodolphe Brissett's going to be over at Oaklawn Park. They're going to have, you know, they're having a lot of these non-traditional Oaklawn names going in for Oaklawn, and even though they're only racing 3 days a week, they're running for so much money there. that these trainers just can't pass it up. I mean, it's just ridiculous how big the purses are there, and they've got a great facility. And, you know, if they can skate by some bad weather through the early months, they have fantastic racing day in and day out. And then, of course, you have Tampa Bay Downs. We know they're going to have good weather more often than not. They have probably the nicest turf course in the country, Dave. I'm not saying that that necessarily means they have the best turf racing day out and day out, day in and day out in the country, but from an aesthetics view of it, their turf course, you know, can be 2 or 3 months into the meet and it looks like it has not been used. It's just amazing to me. And, you know, you almost think that they're spray painting it. It's so beautiful on a daily basis. You're not seeing big dirt clods flying out at horses after the meet. I mean, we joked about this at Calder for many, many years. The turf course at Calder was turf disguised as it was brown dirt disguised or green dirt disguised as turf. Yeah. And, you know, it would not take many, many days of racing over the turf course at Calder for it to start looking like more like a second dirt course than a turf course. At Tampa Bay Downs, I don't know what it is, what kind of grass they're using there in Tampa, or what their turf course superintendent and his or her crew do there on a daily basis, but their turf course is just absolutely beautiful, and you can see it by their entries. They almost they have a full field basically every turf race they write at Tampa Bay Downs, and you see, despite smaller purses there, big outfits shipping up to run in those races. You know, you'll see it many times during the season. Chad Brown or Todd Pletcher or Shug McGahee or Christoph Clement running in maiden special weight races at Tampa where the purses are, you know, $20,000+ instead of running for three times that much, I would assume, at Gulfstream Park, or five times that much, you know, if they're running at Oaklawn, places like that, or Aqueduct. So there's a lot of different ways you can go with this, and it's a lot of fun to look forward to these meets. Oaklawn Park Championship meet at Gulfstream, Fairgrounds, Tampa Bay Downs, all have pluses and minuses depending on what your handicapping forte is. I'd like to know more about what our fans are looking forward to. You know what? Maybe they're just looking forward to staying with Santa Anita and Aqueduct. And they're saying, that's nice. These tracks are opening up. I'm a New York guy. I'm going to stick with the Aqueduct races. Or I'm a SoCal guy. I'm going to stick with the races in Southern California. Not saying that's not right. But
options are good.
Yeah. You know what? There are few and far between these days, Dave, with the popularity of full card simulcasting and the availability to wager on all of these tracks on you know, whatever platform you're using, Twin Spires, Express Bet, Naira Bets, you know, whatever one you've been using, they all do great jobs. It's few and far between the handicappers that stick with one circuit, look at another. Now that there are some out there, we all know people who are like this. In fact, out at Del Mar, a couple weeks ago, I got to see some guys out at Del Mar that are based in Southern California and are there year-round. And, you know, their day literally is handicapping whatever races are put in front of them in Southern California and putting pick six tickets together for those races and putting pick fives. And you could name, you know, graded stake horse at, you know, seven other different tracks, they wouldn't have a clue who you're talking about. And it doesn't matter to them. They're betting the races. They know these trainers. They know these jockeys. They know the way the track has been playing. That's what they're playing. And I'm sure you can see that in New York. I'm sure you can see it in Florida or in Kentucky or in Louisiana or Texas or wherever you are. You're going to find about 97 of the people who are going to bet more than one track for every, like, three people who only stick with one track.
Yep. It's interesting because while I certainly dabble with everyone, there are certain circuits that I gravitate towards and I know better and I'm more confident in. So, yeah, we're in a day and age where we can look at all of them and you can kind of get a pretty good sense of what's going on at some of these tracks. if you are looking day in and day out at one or two or three circuits, it's not crazy to think that that's where you're going to play the majority of your action. And that, again, that doesn't mean there's not a huge day at parks and you don't get involved there, or, you know, maybe you're more of a Naira person, but it's Haskell Day at Monmouth, so you shift your focus. But it's not crazy to me to think that it's hard to be an expert at everything. And being a generalist is a good tactic for some, but other people are much better when they're focused and honed in on one or two or three particular meets.
Certainly a lot of different ways you can go on that. We'll talk more about it when we come back. We're going to take a break. Talk more here on the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Champions are returning to Gulfstream for the championship meet starting December 3rd until April 3rd. Witness the best thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday with weekly stakes races. Returning for its sixth year this January is the 2022 Pegasus World Cup with world-class racing, delectable cuisine, stunning celebrities, and iconic fashion. New for 2022 is the third graded stakes race, the Pegasus Turf for fillies and mares with a $500,000 purse. Tickets go on sale November 8th. Visit PegasusWorldCup.com to learn more and get tickets.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
Hi, I'm Leah Jarmati, and I love listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman, out to the phones we go. And Charles in Mississippi, welcome, my friend.
How are you doing, Bobby?
I'm doing well. How are you, Charles?
Oh, man. Living the American dream, Bobby. Living the American dream.
You know, it's funny when people say that. It never sounds sincere when people say they're living the dream.
I am truly living the dream. One day when we meet, and we'll meet at Oaklawn Park, Bobby, I'll give you a brief synopsis of my life, and you can decide whether I'm living the American dream or not. If guys like you and I were in Russia or China, we'd already be dead, Bobby. We'd already be dead. I'm going to answer a couple of your questions. The tracks you named, I love Tampa Bay because they run condition claimers. And if you, I like to watch Tampa Bay for a couple of weeks and study the, they have the $8,000 claimers, nine winners of two, nine winners of three. I mean, it's, sometimes you can get wonderful prices once you you study the horses a little bit and get an idea where they fit. And I love Oaklawn because, you know, I've been going there 50 years. I know the track pretty well. I know how it generally runs. And I love Gulfstream for the Dynamite Maidens. Special weights when they the breeding. And Fairgrounds, I'm not a good turf handicapper unless I'm playing Charlie Appleby. And I on the turf, I always look at the connections. And that's, you know, maybe that's a, you know, I just, this time of year, the build up to the Triple Crown and watching it, you know, horse racing to me is 12 months out of the year. It's total enjoyment for me, you know, and, when I play, I play to win, but, I just totally enjoy it, Bobby.
Well, so you're not somebody who's going to stick with one track, and we're not, you know, that's
oh, no,
normal.
No. I think you're foolish if you do that. I think that's a – I love the whole enchilada, Bobby. I love it. I see a track, and I've watched it, and I mean, there's some jockeys I won't bet. There's some world – people call them world-class jockeys I won't bet. I mean, I saw a couple of rides in the Breeders' Cup that were questionable at best, and there's a lot of jockeys that are living on reputation, Bobby. And there are some jockeys that when you look at Jose Ortiz, brother, he rides like the bill collector's at his door. That's the guy, when I make a bet, I like to bet. I mean, when you watch him, you know, maybe it's personal preference, but I love to bet somebody that rides wide open.
Well, so let me ask you this, Charles. Let me ask you this. So I don't want you to name the riders you don't like right off the bat, but we know you love Jose Ortiz. So is this something where you are immediately going to look for who Jose Ortiz is riding if you're handicapping the track he's riding at? Or is it just a bonus if when you're done handicapping the race, you see that Jose Ortiz is on the horse you like?
I like the horse first, Bobby. I picked the horse first. In other words, I like the way the horse is going in. I like, you know, if he's established his form, he's in form. And I will tell you what, when you talk about horse of the year, I think Mishkas is the horse of the year. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that when you look at that Saudi Cup and what, and he beats Nick's Go, and he beats, then he comes back, what, a month and a half later and wins that turf race in Dubai, and the third place horse is that love horse, that Japanese horse that comes back and wins the Breeders' Cup turf. I mean, to me, that Miss Griffith was the head and shoulders the best horse in the world this year. Now, I don't know if that counts for people. I don't know if he qualifies for whatever he qualifies for. But to me, he was head and shoulders. Man, when I saw that Japanese mare had run, you know, a length and a half off of him in that race, I went boots and saddles on it. I got 4-1 on that horse. I love horses that run against quality competition. Boots and saddles, Bobby. The Mississippi Kid struck. I mean, when that Japanese horse won, it was lights out, baby. Lights out.
Well, Charles,
I like the name. What is it? Love's Only You? I mean, how can you not like a horse that's named Love's Only You?
Well, it's certainly easier to love Love's Only You if you bet on Love's Only You. And
well,
by the way,
how many races did Appleby win?
He won 3.
And, you know, like I said, I didn't pick, you know, in that turf race, I bet both Appleby horses and hooked them to Dunbar Road. Now, I had a shot, Bobby, but, you know, sometimes when Ed DeRosa, did you see how he talked about Dunbar Road that last that last show before y'all, before the Breeders' Cup?
I'm well aware. Believe me, that race is a bad mark on my Breeders' Cup memory.
But I mean, when you go back and look, that horse got—I mean, that was the slimmest nose I've ever seen. I mean, that—I don't know. That would have been a great result. But you don't win them all, Bobby. You don't win them all. And look, you keep doing a great job, and I'll call in next week.
All right, Charles. Really appreciate your call. Thanks for taking the time, my friend. All right, Charles in Mississippi. Dave, he never disappoints. And, you know, one thing that Charles has going for him that we love is he's got an opinion.
No
and
doubt.
It may not always be the popular opinion. It may not be always the opinion that we agree with. But he's got an opinion, and he's strong about it. And you know what? One of his opinions, which, you know, you weren't on last week to hear it, but Charles was against Nick's Go in the Breeders' Cup Classic with every bone in his body, so much that he made a little wager against both Ed DeRosa and myself that Nick's Go would not hit the board in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and the wager was lunch and drink of our choice at Oaklawn Rebel Weekend next year at Oaklawn Park. And I joked that I said, this is a win-win because either way, we get to meet Charles from Mississippi, and whether I'm buying lunch or he's buying lunch, it's fine. I like it a little bit better that he's buying lunch than I'm buying lunch. But you know what? He stood by it, and it wasn't like he, you know, last week came on and complained about the rides that the other horses got. And Nick's, he just flatly said that Nick's Go was better than he thought he was.
But that's part of being a good handicapper and a good gambler. Sometimes you're wrong. When you're wrong, you take your hat off, you evaluate what you did, you try to get better, and you do it again. I'm firmly in Charles's camp when it comes to handicapping. Do I think trainers and jockeys matter? Of course. But I prefer to handicap the horses and then use the trainer and the jockey as kind of separators from that point forward. I agree with them also. I like horses that have run against better horses. So I think there are some things he does that make a great deal of sense, and he clearly is unbelievably passionate about the sport.
Once again, we're live here on the Brisnet.com call-in show. We're going to take our final break, come back with one last segment. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to give us a call, 888-966-4776, the number to call in.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
To be able to go back to the movies.
Introduce my family to my new girlfriend.
For my husband, who's been a chronic asthmatic his whole life.
So I can visit friends in a different state.
So I can take my granddaughter out to the park again.
So that I can hug my 85-year-old grandma again.
We each have our own reason for why we're getting vaccinated against COVID-19. What will yours be? Visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for information on the COVID-19 vaccines. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Don't miss the Equine Forum every Saturday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on HRRN. Mike Pena brings you the latest in thoroughbred racing, featuring interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. Plus, exclusive segments you won't hear anywhere else, like In the Room with Sean Clancy, A Stroll Through Racing History with Kurt Becker, and I Ask, They Answer with Tim Wilkin and Dale Romans. The Equine Forum,
the show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming at horseracingradio.net.
Hello, I'm Junior Alvarado, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the BrizNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment of the BrizNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman live here on HRRN. We'll head out to the phone lines now. Barry in New Jersey, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bobby, and thank you guys for keeping it all interesting, even when racing winds down at the end of the year. I've got a simple question. It's not even a racing question. It's more of a sales question. It's a Keeneland Saratoga, sales question. Someone puts a stakes-winning mare in the Keeneland sale 2 weeks ago, hypothetically. Puts a graded stakes winning mare in the sale, puts a $500,000 reserve on the mare. Auctioneer bids the horse up to, 480, 485. Nobody jumps in. Mare goes, RNA reserve not achieved. Does the seller of the mare have to pay a fee to the sales company on an RNA?
I don't believe so. I don't believe they have to pay the sale, pay it on an RNA, and I think there's also a chance that they can eventually sell, still go back and find the people who were the highest bidders if it was that close, and go back and sell. But I don't believe so that they have to pay. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't have to pay some fee. I don't know what the full thing is, but not the percentage that they would have to pay like if she were sold.
Do we know? I mean, I'm just curious about this stuff. I'm not in the breeding business or anything. A mare sells for $500,000 in the sale. What does Keeneland take? What does Fasig Tipton take? What does, Saratoga take? If it's a Humphrey Finney Pavilion, is there a set fee or is it all negotiated? Do we know?
I think that they're set, and I don't have the full answer for this, and I'm going to find out for you. But my guess is that they would be set and probably in writing before the sale starts. So I don't think it's something where, you're a frequent customer of ours. We're going to give you a little bit of a better rate than we're going to give, Bobby Newman, who's here with just three horses that he's never sold before, and he's never been a customer of ours. I don't think it works that way. I think it's all pretty much right there outlined for everyone. But I don't know the percentages. What I'm going to do, actually, is I'm going to find out. I'm going to text Kurt Becker, who, in addition to being the track announcer at Keeneland, does a lot of the sales for Keeneland. And he's on the podium a lot. He's not the guy who's the auctioneer. He's the guy reading the pedigrees and all the stuff in between. He does a great job. But he's a wealth of knowledge. He's kind of like the Felix Unger of racing, as far as I'm concerned. He will know what the answer to that is. I will find out, and I will get it for you by the time we're on the air next week. Not next week, but the week after. We're not going to be on next week because of Thanksgiving. But the week after, I will get that answer out to you.
Thank you. Thank you for doing the legwork. I'll probably be listening tomorrow afternoon as I'm bouncing around because you all make it interesting. It was interesting in a different direction when young Anthony was with you. It's interesting now with you and Dave. And just thanks for keeping the sport going, even for those of us that don't care about the fourth race from Thistledown on a Thursday. It's horse racing is horse racing, and it's fun and it's interesting and dynamic. And thank you for all you do.
I appreciate it, Barry. Thanks very much for your call. Barry calling us from New Jersey. I will find out that answer, Dave.
Great
for Barry
question.
as to what it is, and I don't want to give an answer that's false. So I'm going to try to find out. In fact, I'm going to text Kurt Becker shortly after this show. In fact, maybe I'll just do it now and ask him that. But we're running out. I'll find out before we're back on with the Brisnet.com call-in show in 2 weeks from tonight. Once again, we will not have programming on HRN next Thursday. It is Thanksgiving Day. We're taking that day off, but we'll be back in 2 weeks with the Brisnet.com call-in show in our normal slot, time slot, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. Good questions that he's got there. And, you know, by the way, Barry, and for everyone listening, you know, we're obviously going to try on race day presented by Twin Spires to bring you the biggest and best racing that there is around the country during that time frame. You know, it just happens that, you know, on a day like, let's say, yesterday, New York wasn't racing, Southern California wasn't racing, South Florida wasn't racing. You had Churchill Downs, and then we had other tracks that we don't normally take. We took Delta Downs yesterday. We took Parks yesterday. Those are two circuits that we don't cover on a regular basis here on the network. Nothing wrong with them. They're certainly not at the level of places like NYRA or Southern California or South Florida, but that's the way it is. And the other tracks that were running around the country yesterday either were running, you know, at different time frames for us, or we're going to be done too early. This is the other thing. This time of year, Dave, with daylight savings just have gone away, you have a lot of these tracks, including, you know, like Aqueduct and Gulfstream Park and Churchill Downs, that where during the summer months they're going until, you know, 6 o'clock, 6:30 Eastern time. You know, they're done at 4:30, 5 o'clock Eastern time to avoid darkness. And we make do with what we have, but it gives us an opportunity to look at some racing that maybe we wouldn't normally look at on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, it's my opinion that if you want to be a sports bettor and be a winner, it's awfully hard to beat the high-profile events, the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals. But some of the littler ones, Ivy League basketball, maybe you can know more than someone else. I don't know that you can't make more money betting the smaller tracks than the big ones if you have an edge of some sort. And I like being able to listen to those races and handicap them.
We've got time for one last caller quickly. Steve in Baltimore, welcome to the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Hey, good evening, guys. I'll try to make it quick, and I'll sign off. I just had a couple thoughts on how we could possibly change up the point system for the Kentucky Derby. What if we looked at races from, like, May 1st to September 1st, all the key Derby races, three-year-old races, you name it, internationally, domestically, we start looking at the horses who do well in those races and compare them to where they came from in the prep season and start awarding points based on that. Just wanted to get your thoughts. And it doesn't have to be static. We could change it up every year. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Thanks, guys.
I appreciate it, Steve. Interesting note there, Dave. So I understand what Steve's getting at, and it's kind of the same way that they look at how they grade stakes around the country, you know, especially two-year-old stakes. You know, how do you really grade a two-year-old stake? Well, you do it kind of seeing at how good these horses become and where, you know, they go on to bigger and better things. And I think Steve's saying that we could kind of do that with the Oaks and Derby point system. The only problem with something like that is, you know, what happens if you get horses who are one-shot wonders? Or you, I mean, how about a horse like, I can't think of the name. The horse from New Mexico that won the Derby up the rail with...
Mind That Bird.
I mean, he never did anything, basically, after the Kentucky Derby. I think he ran second to Rachel Alexander in the Preakness, but basically he never won anything after that. You know, you have horses like, you know, horses that maybe get hurt and never do anything down the line. So there is no perfect system. I wouldn't say that I disagree that that could be a factor down the line in how they decide points for those big prep races, if you will, for the Oaks and Derby. Taking that under consideration, I don't think that can be the only factor, though.
Yeah, I'm open to Steve's suggestion, but I don't think the system is broken now. I think since we've gone to the point system, the best horses have pretty consistently been able to get into the Derby and run, and I think that was the goal.
I think the other thing we're seeing is the system changes on a yearly basis. It's evolving. They're adding stakes. You know, they've added more two-year-old races that are worth points. Not a lot of points, but they're points. Eventually, it could mean something between being 22nd on the list or 18th on the list. So I think it's something that Churchill Downs is doing on a yearly basis, assessing this, not just sticking their feet in the mud and saying this is the way it is and it's never going to change. They're looking to change things for the better as much as they can, and maybe that's something they'll look at down the line. Another good hour on the BrisNet.com call-in show. We appreciate your calls, appreciate all of our listeners. On behalf of our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Dave Friedman, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us this evening. A reminder, a full day tomorrow here on HRRN. Race Day presented by Twin Spires from 3 to 6 Eastern Time. Racing from Aqueduct, Churchill Downs, and Del Mar back in action tomorrow. And then, of course, the weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts, 6 to 7 p.m. tomorrow night on the East Coast. 12 big races from around North America we're going to look at tomorrow night on the weekend stakes preview. For our producer, for my co-host, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us. Have a great night, everybody.